Please join me in our prayer for understanding of God's word. O God, nations shall come to your light, and rulers to the brightness of your dawn. By the compelling radiance of your spirit, draw us near, reveal your truth, and teach us faithful obedience to your holy word. Amen. Our reading from God's word is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophets has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God.
You know, we also have the best liturgists, plural, of any church in Yuma. You know that? Doesn't he do a great job? Wonderful job. And not only that, but he presented me with this Bible, with this beautiful handwritten cover also, great calligraphy, and the pages are marked with big numbers. So the rest of you liturgists, the bar has been set, okay? I just wanted to let you know that. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, my friend. Let's go ahead and join in prayer. We want to thank you, Lord, for your word, and we're grateful for how you speak. Help us to listen. Help us to be mindful of you speaking, creating, sustaining, challenging, stretching, certainly, but washing us over with your grace in all things. We pray in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Horror novelist Stephen King wrote a book called Needful Things. Some of you might be Stephen King fans out there. It's okay to admit it in church. It's just a novel. It's just for entertainment. And it takes place in a fictional town. And it's the story of what seems to be a kindly old man who comes and opens up a shop with all sorts of things in it. Well, what the townspeople find is that each of them to a person will go in there and see something that they feel they really need or have wanted all their life. None of them can afford it, but the shop owner makes them a deal. If you play a trick, now a harmless trick on your neighbors, just a good-natured trick on your neighbor, and I'll give you the neighbor to play a trick on and the trick as well, then you can have this thing that you really need. What happens is that the town slowly but surely turns into chaos as these tricks turn out to be more than tricks. People start turning on each other. And the shop owner turns out to be none other than the devil himself. Now, they should have been mindful of what they were getting into whenever they saw the sign over the shop entrance. Caveat emptor, which means buyer beware. What do you need in your life right now? What do you need at any particular moment right now? A couple sisters in Christ came up to me right before worship with urgency on their faces and in their voices, and they called me over, and I thought it was going to be a prayer request or something really critical, and they said, "We need more cookies." I'm okay to get those prayer requests. I'm okay. Yesterday, whenever people were taking down the decorations, you noticed some changes here, right? Yeah. Brought some donuts, and somebody looked at them and said, "Oh, I really need a donut." Now, those are things that we actually don't need. But what has taken that place in our lives over the years? Things that we thought we needed. Things that we strived after. Things that we put a lot of time and energy and money into attaining. And then we got it. We found out that it didn't really take care of the need that we thought we had anyways. Whenever we're chasing after things of the world, when we're chasing after things that really are not sustaining, when we're chasing after things that are not of God, certainly we are going to find ourselves in that predicament again and again and again. Well, I have this thing, whatever it is, and it's not enough. Well, maybe if I get that thing, I really need it, it won't be enough. The only thing that we are to be striving after is a closer relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Savior and our namesake, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. That's it. That's the thing that we need. And that's all that we need. Certainly, things, there are needs that come up, okay, that we probably need to be have met, you know. Haircuts. We should probably brush our teeth every morning. Otherwise, when you look at each other and say you're a good-looking Christian, it might be, you're kind of a good-looking Christian. You know, those are things that we need to do. You know what I'm saying? But what do we really actually need? That saving relationship with God through Christ. That's what we need. The Magi, the astrologers, the kings, whatever you want to call them, wise men, and I wore my camel tie in honor of them today. It has camels on it. It's from Israel. They gave up things of great value, didn't they? And they came a great distance. The three wise men are kind of lost in everything that takes place around this time of year. But I think there's something wonderful to be garnered from what they did. Traveling a great distance, following a star, willing to follow a star, by the way, that actually frightened not only the ruling king of that time, but also startled other people. In Scripture, it said that. Did you read that verse? Where it said it actually startled, caused them to be somewhat fearful. They were still willing to trust, though, that there is something more there. They were still willing to trust, I believe, God's guidance. That even though they were going into an area of unknown to them, even though they didn't really know what they were going to be finding specifically, They were still willing to trust because they knew that whatever God provided is what they really needed. And they gave up things of great value. They gave up things that were quite expensive in that day and time. They handed it over as an offering to God because they knew they didn't need that. What they needed was the child before them. What do you really need? As we come before our table, as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, once again, we come seeking after that which is sustaining. We come seeking after that which is healing. We come seeking after that which is our source of grace. We come seeking after that same child, our Savior, Jesus. This is an open table for everyone. All are welcome to come forward. If you cannot come forward, that's okay. We have communion stewards that will be coming around to be able to serve you where you're at. In the body and the blood of Christ, we remember that's what we need. The body. We are the body of Christ, redeemed by the blood, forgiven. Therefore, we don't have to search after things that are not going to sustain us anymore. We don't have to be needful in our lives because God has given us all that we need. Jesus, our Savior. As you come forward for communion today, I invite you to also, before you receive the elements, lay before God the things that you've been striving after. Maybe there's something that comes to mind that you've been grasping at, and you realize that it's not really sustaining, because all we need is Jesus. The communion stewards, if they ever come forward at this time, and prepare to serve the elements of grace. These are elements of grace. And Jesus, much later, after this time with the wise men, the Magi, was in a different place, but still offering those, the disciples and those others that were gathered as well, what they really needed. When he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and know that this is broken for you so that you would know who provides." Your Heavenly Father, God provides all that you need. This body reminds you of that. Body reminds you also that you are now the body to be shared in the world. The body of Christ, broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God, thanks be to God. And after that was done, he poured out the cup, and he said, again, more extraordinary words, but words that reminded all of those who were right there what they really needed. "This is my blood shed for you. Shed for you so that you can know that you're forgiven. No longer needing to carry around guilt, hurts, resentments, or pain. You are forgiven, and this proves it. My blood shed for you, and this is offered for the people of God. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God." After the communion stewards receive these elements of grace, the ushers will direct you forward to receive it as well.